Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: choosing effectively the right ways of God and God Himself. Chapter 8. Valleys filled and mountains and hills leveled or brought low. Continuing the topic covered in the previous chapter or related to the matter of straightening an individual's personal paths according to God's unique way and the right ways of the Lord, we would like to highlight one more point about the process of straightening, flattening, or leveling the paths of a person so that one's life comes to be in harmony or consonance with the right way of God, or also called the way of God's righteousness. When thinking about ways in the natural world, we understand that it would be reasonable to think that a straight way is a path without curves or not tortuous. However, a way may also not be straight, on a natural level, if it is full of ups and downs. Thus, in the spiritual ways with which a person may come across, there may similarly also be paths that are flatter or paths that have more irregular and accentuated reliefs, which are compared in the scriptures with the ways that alternate between the mountains or hills and the valleys. When, for example, the Hebrew people who left bondage in Egypt arrived in Canaan, the Lord warned them that they were entering a land of hills and valleys and no longer of plains as it was in the land from which they were freed, as mentioned in the text below. Deuteronomy 11, 10-11. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot, as a vegetable garden, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. And since a territory or place presents hills and valleys, it also presents its inhabitants with challenges according to its nature, challenges that are different from, for example, the challenges of Egypt or the desert in which the Hebrew people had previously lived. If, however, we continue to study the history of people throughout the scriptures, we may also notice that mountains, hills, and valleys began to have a symbolic connotation of moral and spiritual behavior, as exemplified by the following texts. First Book of Kings 20, verses 23 and 28. Then the servants of the king of Syria said to him, "Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we, but if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they." Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel, and said, "Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys,' therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." In order not to expand too much on this point, we may observe that in the scriptures, in general, mountains or hills became the favorite places for several ancient peoples to install their places of worship, sacrifices, idolatry, and temples, as well as their government houses and thrones. And in this sense, the mountains or hills also came to be called high places or high places for worship, to the point that several people even began to build on these mountains what they called cities of worship, an aspect that is also mentioned in the conversation between the Samaritan woman and the Lord Jesus Christ, as part of the text presented below shows us. John 4, 19-20. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." The valleys, in turn, became more intensely referred to as the places of large plantations, harvests, and even broad fights or battles between the armies of the peoples or nations. Psalm 65:13. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered with grain, they shout for joy, they also sing. Isaiah 22:7. It shall come to pass that your choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. While mountains or hills began to have a referential connotation more related to spiritual, government, and superiority of domain matters, valleys, or plains began to receive a connotation more related to material, natural, or practical matters of life. And although there are mentions of productivity or wars also in the mountains or hills and religious acts in the valleys, a more accentuated connotation has been established throughout history for each of them as explained in the previous paragraphs. In the example from the book of First Book of Kings, cited above, the king of Syria was trying to introduce the people of Israel to a concept of spiritual division according to the territory of mountains and valleys. The king of Syria was trying to introduce the Hebrews to a mentality that the God of the people of Israel was a God only of the mountains or hills and, at the same time, that he was not a God of the valleys, aiming to weaken the people's understanding about God so that, through this, he could weaken people's trust in the eternal Lord. Some Greek mythologies, for example, also defended the thought that the gods were spiritual and did not interfere in the material functioning of life, with humans, therefore, being responsible for all the administration of practical life on earth. Thus, although the text of First Book of Kings in reference is related to ancient times in human history, this type of thinking that intends to separate the place of the search for the spiritual from the place where a person lives one's daily life in the natural world accompanies humanity in all its centuries, sometimes varying only in the terminologies through which the thought that tries to distinguish hills and valleys is exposed. Currently, for instance, this mentality that seeks to separate hills and valleys or the spiritual from the natural presents itself through the attempt to classify what in life is spiritual and what is secular. And this is still accompanied by unfounded propositions that try to divide people's services to God into full-time ministries or part-time ministries, where, in these corrupt propositions, a person with a full-time ministry would be one who supposedly only dedicates oneself to the spiritual, ceasing to get involved with the secular as if this were possible. A subject covered more extensively in the theme vocation, calling, and election. In this way, the mentality or attempts to classify ministries into spiritual and secular are similar to the mentality that the king of Syria wanted to impose on the people of Israel thousands of years ago. Therefore, the mentality that seeks to divide life into hills and valleys is a proposition that aims to induce the thought that the children of God must seek God in so-called spiritual things, but must use the tools of battle and human strength in practical things according to what other people dissociated from God's instruction use in their daily life so-called secular. The line of thought that seeks to divide life into concepts of hills and valleys is a proposition that aims to induce the corrupted thought that the children of God must seek to live in God according to the so-called spiritual things, but that in walking in ordinary and natural life, they must use their own natural or fleshly strength and everything they can find in the natural world to establish themselves in it. Propositions that suggest unduly dissociating the aspects of life into hills and valleys are, then, proposals that aim to make God's children despise the aspect that a Christian is called to live in Christ or live in the Spirit and equally to walk in Christ or walk in the Spirit of the Lord. The Scriptures, however, teach us that. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And, in turn, the mentality that seeks to separately associate spiritual matters with the mountains or hills and practical issues with the valleys can begin to penetrate the hearts of the people who welcome it to the point that they even begin to consider what they see being offered to them in the mountains as the basis of their trust and hope instead of keeping their trust exclusively or directly in God. People on earth are called by the Lord to never replace God with anything or anyone, including what they call the spiritual mountains or hills in which they think they can place their trust. When the Scriptures call Christians to seek those things which are above, where Christ lives, and not to set their minds on things on earth, they teach that they should seek them first and directly in God. In other words, they should seek them in Him from whom comes all true wisdom and every good gift, and they should seek them not only to live in Christ but also to walk in Christ. Thus, contrary to the words of the Syrian king, who wanted to weaken the confidence in the Lord of the people he opposed, the scriptures repeatedly affirm that God is the God of His children in spiritual things but equally in material things. God is willing to instruct His children both in the spiritual matters of His relationship with them and in the aspects of their relationship with material things, with God providing instruction for them to walk in the right way in all aspects and places to which they are called by the Lord. Therefore, while the mentality that seeks to limit God's actions by saying that He only acts on the mountains or hills and not in the valleys, the word of the Lord Himself teaches us that God's help to people on earth does not come from the mountains, the high places, the temples, religious institutions, or so-called places of worship chosen or designated by human beings, but it always comes from the Lord Himself for all aspects of people's lives, as exemplified once again below. Psalms 121, 1-8. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil, He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Isaiah 45, 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Jeremiah 9, 24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Contrary to what the king of Syria wanted to claim, the Eternal Lord is the very present help with His children and the Eternal Guide who can be with them in all places and moments of their lives. For the Lord, there is no place too high or too deep where He cannot be to guard, teach, and guide those who trust in Him. The Lord is present and active in all places and at all times, an aspect presented time after time in the Scriptures, as some more texts below show us. Psalms 46, 1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Psalms 139, 1-15. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up, you understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, The darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you, when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Matthew 23:8-10. But you, do not be called rabbi, masters, leaders, or guides, for one is your teacher, or guide, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, masters, leaders, or guides, for one is your teacher, or guide, the Christ. Therefore, in this chapter, we are not claiming that there are no spiritual aspects or that they are the same as the natural ones, for there is a big difference between them. However, for a Christian, there is no difference in saying that what one does on the spiritual level is holy and what one does on the natural level is not holy or is secular, for everything a Christian does guided by the Lord, whether in spiritual or material matters, is holy, distinct, or for the glory of God. Similarly, sin in the spiritual and sin in the material remain or are both sins. Or yet, just as something done in the spiritual according to God's will glorifies the Lord, so something done in the material according to His will also glorifies His name. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We underline here, then, that human beings are strongly attracted to exchange the exclusivity of faith in the invisible but real God for trust or beliefs in visible and tangible things. For many people, the action of looking at the mountains or hills, for example, houses of worship in which they place their trust, may be pleasurable to their souls. However, this constitutes a life by sight and not by faith. Many human beings are strongly drawn to placing created things as their points of support for worship and the pursuit of spiritual instruction or protection. However, this inclination to trust in visible things is also what leads them to separate physical places as if some were more spiritual than others, leading them, as a consequence, also to the practice of no longer being guided, in their hearts, in everything and everywhere by the Lord through the Holy Spirit. If, for instance, in some specific situation, God instructed a person to withdraw to a place of more natural quietness to teach him or her, or so that one is in a natural area of more stillness regarding the noises of everyday life, this does not mean that this person should subsequently be inclined to believe that it is in places of natural stillness that God speaks to him or her. For, by doing so, an individual starts to turn the place of natural quietness into a mountain, a hill, a high place, or an idol, or begins trying to confine God's action towards him or her in the hill that one creates or starts to idolize. In this way, a person runs the risk of forgetting that God cannot be directed and confined by the creature, nor should the Christian be restricted to seeking God only in some specific natural or material places, as follows. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. God does not dwell in mountains or hills on earth, in temples, sanctuaries, or tabernacles made by human hands, temples that want to rise as hills, elevated places, or distinct places in the world. Nevertheless, Multitudes of people resist the freedom of God's Spirit and think that they can direct God to be where they want Him to be, which, in turn, is the millennial and cultural obstinacy of those who resist the presence of God as the God Emmanuel or God with us in the heart of everyone who believes in Christ Jesus as the Lord of one's life. Acts 7, 48-51. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me? Says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Matthew 24, 23-26. Then if anyone says to you, Look, here is the Christ. Or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore if they say to you, Look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or Look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. From generation to generation, an enormous portion of humanity insists on repeating, time after time, the same mentality that God dwells in institutions, associations, or temples made by human hands, which, those who build them, want them to be places compared and elevated to high places, mountains, hills, or prominent places in their societies. However, it is also worth remembering that it is in these same high places that, in human history, many of the worst idolatries and many of the most severe affronts to God that the world has ever seen occurred. Furthermore, when people begin to feel safe because they belong to a specific group or institution, including those groups that call themselves Christians, they are taking considerable steps toward the tendency to transform the group or association to which they belong into a hill or a high place of worship instead of having their direct trust in God. When people make a group or an association the place to place their trust, they may raise the group to the position of an idol for them, and soon, they will also want an altar and a temple for the idol they have set up. Meetings or encounters between Christians aim for beneficial purposes for those who participate in them, but this can only be achieved when Christians do not depart from the condition of having the Lord as the head, the protection, and the firm personal strength of each of them. A point covered more extensively in the themes The Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ and Fellowship of Christians in the World. When, however, among people, confidence begins to grow that the group or gathering of Christians itself can be the protection of those who participate in these groups, the mentality of the high places and that unduly or excessively values a group is already in operation. And the more this thought of trust in the group or an association grows, the more people feel safe when they are on the hill they created and the more insecure they begin to feel in the valleys, for their hill cannot go with them to all the places in the valleys. Hills are places limited by geography and by the capacity limitations of the people who set them up. Only God can be everywhere and at all times with a person to give him or her direction and shelter, as recalled by the text previously mentioned and presented once again below. Psalms 121, 1-3. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved, he who keeps you will not slumber. Thus, when people raise their eyes to the mountains or hills, thinking that help will come from them or from those who are in these places, They enter crooked paths and begin a life of oscillations between hills and valleys, that is, a life of continuous ups and downs. In this way, when people are on their hills, they feel excited, strengthened, and declare themselves bold and intrepid. However, as soon as they reach the valleys, their bravery and righteousness begin to wither and become empty in the face of the strength and threats of the valleys and the kings of the valleys, as exemplified in the scriptures in the text related to the king of Syria. And, in turn, as a consequence of this context of the valleys that befalls people who trust in what God has not called them to trust, many cannot wait to escape the valleys to return to the hills to supposedly recharge themselves with the provisions offered in them, provisions that in reality end up demonstrating, time after time, their ineffectiveness for life in the face of challenges in the valleys. Therefore, the life that oscillates between hills and valleys, ultimately, or in everyday practice, ends up manifesting itself as a life devoid of substantial inner life for all the circumstances that may present themselves before an individual on one's journey through the present world. A life that oscillates between hills and valleys, ultimately, or in everyday practice, ends up becoming similar to riding a roller coaster found in amusement parks, that is, a life with strong emotions, or ups and downs, but without truly useful benefit for a person to live and walk according to God's will. Although the life that seeks to alternate between hills and valleys may have the appearance of godliness or devotion to God, it is a proposition similar to that made by the serpent to Adam and Eve and that seeks to elevate people's hearts inappropriately to positions to which God has not called them, aiming to distance people from the simplicity that there is in life in Christ and through which the Lord is at all times and in all places with those who believe in Him. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Given all this, thank God that the Christian life that the Lord prepared for His children is not one of ups and downs, hills and valleys, and is not like a roller coaster without a meaningful purpose. The provision that God grants in Christ, then, is not only offered to people so that they can leave the crooked paths, but also so that they can leave the life of oscillations between ups and downs or the fickle life regarding faith and permanence in God. Life in Christ is a calling to a life of continuous prayer and vigilance, as well as a life in which the Holy Spirit can guide and enable a person also at all times and in every place. In Christ Jesus, a person does not need to go to some special or high place to have God's provision because God places it in the heart of each person, which is Christ Himself, who is with a Christian at all times and everywhere. Colossians 1:27-28. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So, in Christ Jesus, a person's paths can become straight and without deviations from the truth, as well as without the highs of spiritual search in the hills to be able to supposedly face the slopes or downs of the valleys. In Christ, there is an incomparable change of relationship, worship, and fellowship with God. For those who are in Christ, the old-fashioned concepts of hills and valleys that people adopted because they distanced themselves from fellowship with the eternal Creator have no value. In Christ, there is no longer a need for worship on the mountains, for in Christ, all the redeemed are called to worship the Lord according to the heavenly kingdom, to worship Him in spirit and truth wherever a Christian is. John 4:19-26. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." In Christ, at any time and in every place to which the Spirit of the Lord leads a child of God, one can look unto the Lord and have fellowship with Him. Fellowship that can accompany a child of God continually and by which one is also instructed and strengthened by the Lord on how to deal with the most diverse matters of one's daily life in the present world. Therefore, Ephesians 5:14-16. Therefore He says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Given this, the Lord Jesus Christ was given in love as God's provision also to lower the mountains or hills in people's lives so that their trust is in God, as well as come to raise the low places to the condition in which a Christian can live and walk according to the will of the Lord in all areas of one's life. An aspect already announced beforehand by the prophets of antiquity and reiterated by the one who was chosen to be the previous announcer of the presence of Christ in the flesh in the world, as follows. Isaiah 40:3-4. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth." Luke 3:3-6. And He went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." In Christ Jesus, the one who placed one's hope in the hills to be instructed in a collective and impersonal way by them, now does not need the hills, being able to walk by faith in God in all circumstances, believing that the Lord is with him or her personally throughout one's entire life or journey. In Christ, the one who was distressed and discouraged by what one saw in the valleys now comes to have hope and faith in the Lord, knowing that he who is in him or her is greater than the one who acts against him or her and against God in the valleys. John 16:33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." 1 John 5:3-5. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There was a time when the freed people of Egypt lived in a land so called the land of hills and valleys. However, God allowed them to go through this situation because the people longed for that type of life and so that, through practical experience, they could see that that type of life was not the way that could bring them effective rest, for the scriptures themselves testify that it was not the definitive place for peace and rest in the heart, which human beings need so much, as follows. Hebrews 4:8-9. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Therefore, the rest or resting place of the people of God, of the children of God, is not in the lifestyle of climbing the mountains or hills to perform the works of worship that are required in them so that thereby they become blessed to live in the valleys and so that they keep doing it repeatedly until they find themselves drained or exhausted. In life in Christ Jesus, the Lord blesses his people in advance by his grace and through faith in him. In life in Christ Jesus, the Lord is the provision by his grace and through faith in him without the need for the works of the mountains or hills so that he can be with the person who trusts in him. For the person who is in Christ, the Lord is the continuous and very present provision to instruct and guide in everything those who wait on him each new day. The righteousness of God, which is the preceding step to the peace of God, is not found in the mountains, hills, or heights of religions nor in the conquests of the valleys, but is presented in the gospel of Christ and can be accessed from faith to faith in a continuous and increasing way wherever the Lord leads his children to live and walk. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Rest from the tiring life of alternating between the hills and the valleys is found in the surrender of life to the Lord himself through his continuous presence in the hearts of those who believe in him. Hebrews 4:10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Matthew 11:27-30. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. People create their hills or high places for themselves when they elevate themselves and think they can achieve God's favor through their self-righteous acts. And they create their deep valleys and abysses also for themselves when they believe they can succeed on a daily basis through their own strengths, natural strategies, or according to their religions. Nevertheless, in Christ, an individual's hills and valleys are leveled when one personally presents oneself in humility before God and leaves aside the attempt to accomplish the task of trying to please God by works through the effort of the flesh, as well as when one also moves away from wanting to carry out the task of winning in life based on one's own understanding, strategies, or the strength of one's flesh, as another list of texts below also teaches us. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he, Christ, was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Psalms 25, 9. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Psalms 34, 2. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. James 4, 6-10. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Concluding, then, this chapter, we can see, throughout history, that looking at the hills and the valleys may even seem highly attractive for some time. However, if a person has to go through them every week of one's life, one may soon become fatigued and succumb to one's comings and goings through the hills and valleys that one has established or allowed to be established in one's life. In the zeal of trying to sustain the harsh demands of life between hills and valleys, an individual ends up moving away from fellowship with the Lord, thus also moving away from the true place of rest, refreshment, and support for all the most diverse aspects of one's life. When a person sets the eyes of one's hope on the lifestyle of hills and valleys, instead of remaining in the simplicity of having hope in the Lord for provision and help, they also take on the responsibility of meeting the demands of the hills and valleys through their own strengths. So, in this way, one is faced with hills to be overcome and valleys to be conquered by oneself, but it is also in this effort that one's life encounters exhaustion and repeated frustrations. Nevertheless, thank God that in Christ and through him, both spiritual practical actions and material or natural practical actions can be performed according to God's will wherever each of them is necessary. Matthew 1, 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Galatians 5, 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Philippians 2, 12-13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience, or constancy, of Christ.